everybody, it's your boy Rail back with another review, man. Yo, this is Power Book 3 Raising Kanan Season 3 Episode 4. Yeah, I'm still good. It's like 2 days before the episode come out. What's the rush? Huh? Did I not make good on my promise and give you nothing but content for the holidays? What's the rush? Right? I'm here. On time. Kinda, sorta. Anyway, let's get into it. First things first. Salute to the Discord gang. I mean, they're my people. And of course, those listening on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and you, the viewer on YouTube. Salute to y'all, man. Round of applause for yourself for being here. Then, immediately after that, in regards to the episode, this episode felt like not filler. It was a better than a filler episode. It was more so like, what's a better word? Like a table setter. It was like a table setting episode. Nothing too dramatic, nothing too exciting. Just work. You get me? Like, you open something strong, and then you gotta end something strong. But like that middle, that's all the work. So right now, this is like a working play setting episode, just the run of the mill, but setting up for something larger, right? Then I gotta say, I was wrong in my hot take. Very sadly wrong. I was like excited at the prospect of Jukebox no longer singing, maybe giving her final goodbye song so I could be done with the fucking, with the musical, the power musical, is what I'm about to now refer to it as. Anything in a power verse, it's just gonna be some singing. And goddamn, I don't care if it's good or not. I don't give a fuck. I'm just over the singing. So I thought Juke was done. I couldn't be more wrong. I'm like nastily wrong. So wrong, in fact, that we're not steering away from the singing. Oh, hell no. You thought that was just it? Getting her little physical, beefing with the crazy nurses, like, you ain't been sexual? You ain't pregnant? Really? Okay. I'm just saying, it's gonna be weird. You get out there, and you're fucking pregnant, but you say you're not? You say you're not doing shit? Bitch, did she look pregnant? Huh? Are you not around a stick she could piss on so we could be done with you, lady? The fuck you pressing Juke about a pregnancy? Get the fuck on. Right? So soon as you think, all right, we're about to do this. Let's start. Let's get Juke out of here. Let's get her on her mission. But no. She actually got a fucking call back. Of course she did. Of course Juke, out of the 7 trillion girls that were standing outside to be a part of this girl group, she's chosen. Oh, fucking happy day. Way to go, Juke. So now she's fucking TLC in this bitch. Huh? So just, okay. So, she's going to be doing more singing. That's what that was about. So, yes, my hot take was extremely wrong. Or I should say my hot hope. That was the hot hope I had. Now, Juke is about to do that. What I did like about it, though, was that the lady that came in bossed up on them immediately. Like, look, you want some happy to be here shit. Huh? You're gonna listen to me, you're gonna do what the fuck I said. We're gonna make some music. If it hit, we off. We're touring. But if y'all bitches fail, shutting down the studio. Right? Shutting it down. And I, for one, am hoping that they fail. I'm hoping that they fail. I want no more to do with this. But okay. So that's in the work. Also, I just want to get some of like the little storylines, the little characters out the way. Famous. Famous is actually doing hard work. And who would have knew that he could be capable of answering a phone call? Now, who would have known that answering the phone call would have proven difficult to him? Yeah, I did. That man was exhausted picking up the phone. You hear me? Like, he act like he was working his back out. Like, he was on his feet 10, 12 hours out the day. This motherfucker's exhausted from taking orders. I said, well, damn. And bringing bushels of money. It couldn't have been a sweeter, safer job for Famous, but he made that shit look like it was exhausting. He smokes weed all day. He doesn't have to touch product. He's in no danger of arrest. He damn near don't even handle the money. My nigga is handling phone calls from a shitty apartment and making thousands of dollars, and he's damn near over it. So that just shows you Famous's work ethic. If we had any doubt about his work ethic. I thought that was fucking hilarious. I was like, I'll take that job tonight. The fuck is you talking about? I'll answer the shit out some phones. What? Yeah, you need how many? Sure. And you know it's dirt weed. It's the fucking 80s. Like, well, in New York? Like, come on, man. But okay. So, I was skeptical about Famous being a part of this business and almost caning, like, forcing him to be down. And, like, even threatening him to some point. Especially when it came to his mom, Dukes. But let's be real. I know a lot of y'all, like myself, your first thought was, Famous, don't you answer that fucking door. Don't answer that door, Famous. Don't you do it. But let's be real. If we could be real with ourselves, a black mama of that caliber, of a rock's caliber, and I'm not talking about the gangster mom. I'm not talking about the killer mom, right? That's a whole nother demon. That's a whole nother motherfucker you don't play with. But you just don't. It's something about the fear of a black mama that reaches cultures. Motherfucker Famous ain't got no black mama, but he knew to not answer this door would reap consequences. And not on some, oh, Rock is going to kill me type shit. It's just an internal fear. Like, you can't explain it. You're like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this, but what the fuck? How am I supposed to tell this motherfucker's mama no? Like, he told me, don't do it, don't do it. He going to fuck me up. It's like, where do I want this? Where do I want the problems? Do I want Kanan? Well, I want his black ass mama. That's what you don't want. So I don't fault Famous. And all y'all talking shit, like, oh, the Famous can't be trusted to do shit. What the nigga only had to do was not answer the door, pretend like he ain't there. Or just say, no, you can't come in. Huh? It's very easy when you're watching from the comfort of your couch. But if you were in that exact situation, you're opening the fucking door, I promise you that. You talking all that shit. You're opening the door. So I'm not faulting Famous for that. Right? What I am faulting Famous for. I'm not even mad at him for taking the money. Okay? Fuck it. I'm stressed. She's giving me wads of hundreds. You know what? Fuck it. But what I am going to do. What the very next thing that we should all be mad at Famous for is, yo, Kanan. When you get home, like when I see you, or you wait for Kanan, you don't dip knowing he got to come back. You wait right there for Kanan to come back and you say, yo, my mans, your mama came busting through this bitch, right? Yeah, exaggerate the story. She knocked, she may have said in a threatening tone, and you opened politely and you stepped aside as you should for your own self-protection, huh? But yet and still. You supposed to be like, your mama bust through, huh, on some bullshit, and there's a gun in your bag. She put a gun there, don't know what the fuck type of time she on, but don't take that to school, or she's up to something. Get the fuck out the way, right? That was his duty. That is what I'm mad at him about. And then, I hate it when Rock said, don't get in between family business, boy. Motherfucker, y'all put me there. There's no place on earth Famous would rather not be than in the middle of y'all bullshit. So her, like, don't do this, don't do that. You being here places me in the middle of y'all shit where you don't want me to interrupt and be at. So I feel bad for Famous's episode, but not so much because he should have warned his mans. Now, which leads us into our next thing. We need to have a conversation about Rock. She's unraveling. When she was first at the crib with Unique, right? And we're going to talk about that too. We got to talk about the fundamental error that Unique placed himself in. And a lot of fellas, and maybe some ladies, will agree with this, but that's for later. That's we're just going to get to that later. Let's stand on Rock for a second. So she's there with Unique, and she's like, yeah, my son going to be living here. Were y'all just as confused as I was when she was like, nah, we can't be doing this. You know what I'm saying? My son going to be home. I was like, is this fucking delusional? There's no way Kanan's coming through this door. Is she just trying to get rid of Unique? Like, that's what I was going through my head. I had no idea she had a plan to blackmail. Follow me. No, not even blackmail. That's not the right word. Sabotage, set up. She had a plan to set her own son up with a gun that wasn't his so that she could get the baby daddy that he had to find out from him, not her. And he had to find out too. Like, everybody found out everything from Rock, all the nastiness. But knew that, okay, my baby daddy's a police officer, not gonna let his son be arrested. So I could pull this thing off. So she fucking set up her son and applied pressure to the baby daddy, who she don't fuck with at all, only when she needs something. And it's never like, look, Bills is crazy. Can you send a bitch $100 for the electricity bill? None like that. None like, look, your son needs some new clothes. Nothing reasonable. She calls this motherfucker for, hey, Kanan shot you. Keep it low. Kanan out here selling drugs. Don't say shit. Don't come near him. And now Kanan took a gun to school. Get him out that jam. That's what type of time Rock is on. That's the might be top shelf worst baby mama. Like, I don't know. She put niggas at risk. But anyway, I had no idea that was her devised plan. And I want to talk about this because I was a little conflicted. Like, on paper, as I just explained it, that's all really fucked up what she did. Like, dirty shit. Nasty, dirty shit. I got it. It reads bad. But I couldn't help but wonder, like, she's coming around. She's stalking her son. It's her son. It's her fucking son. Like, we got to keep that in mind. Her teenage son, she wants to know how he's living. I mean, that's obvious of a mother. Who cares? She wants to keep him from trouble, right? She want to make sure he ain't doing no bullshit, which she knows internally he is doing, but she can't quite prove yet because she don't know what the fuck he got going on because he's that good at keeping it low. But she knows she don't like it. He ain't asking her for no money. He ain't asking her to wash clothes. The nigga, I don't even see the man driving the car. She dropped off the car. I ain't seen him in it yet. So he give a fuck about that type of transportation. But it's something weird and she don't like it. And she created this monster, so she know. He's up to something. Okay. And then she goes for information from his friend who ain't giving it up. But I feel like if she'd have slapped Famous a few times, he'd have gave her the whole plan. In all honesty. But she knows she wants her son home, where she can put the pieces together herself, where they can be a family or work it out. But she knows she can't work it out with him being there and she being in the burbs in the house. Now, we know he doing some fucked up shit. Like, you know, he's out here serving. He over there getting to the money. But, Rock was fucked up for that. But was she? Is my question. Like, what does she do? Kanan barely says words to her. She has to fight him to get into the car that he purchased for her. He clearly wants nothing to do with her. And that doesn't sit right with her at all. So what other ways does she have to get into her son? Now, a logical us would probably say, hey, you created this bullshit. Now you got to see it through. It's a process. Trust the process. Just be there for your son. Start being more honest. And in time, hopefully, things get good between y'all two. Right? That's the logical sense. But in Rock, I own the block. I run, you know what I'm saying? I get into it with mafia niggas. I kill mafia motherfuckers. I want my son home now. that was probably her only likely course. And she was doing it to keep him out of trouble. You get me? It's some real gray area shit with that, is how I feel. Like, I was thinking, yeah, that was fucked up, but that's his mom. And she feels like she ran out of options. Sure, she does it the worst way possible. But sometimes, you know, good intentions. Fucked up execution, but good intentions. Where do y'all stand on what Rock did? Are you like, fuck it, I'm not mad at Rock, that's her son, and I'm gonna save him from the streets any way possible? Or are you like, that's a down, dirty, nasty bitch. She can't do shit right, not to be trusted, and just selfish. Which side of the fence you on with Rock? Because me, I'm a wobbler. I'm not going to lie to you. So that had me a little confused. But that's type of time Rock on. She got what she wanted. And then she had the audacity to sit in there and really get mad at this. Oh my God, that was so triggering. That scene right there took me back to my childhood. When I knew my mama was lying, I had nothing to do with shit, but she needed a reason to get on ass. So she believed her own lie that we both knew. Like, what are you talking about? But she stood on business on a lie. My mama was different. Stood on business about the lie. I was just like, ooh, I got shivers. She's sitting in that goddamn principal's office and made up the whole story. Well, you know, recently a lot of people tried to kill us, so I'm pretty sure my son only doing this to protect me and the family. And he like, that's not my fucking gun. And she like, shut the fuck up. You carrying a gun. And she really got angry at this nigga. When he didn't do nothing wrong. And she knows it. I was like, yo, what? I was like, oh, that hurt me. That hurt my feelings, that whole scene. That was PTSD for me. I don't know about y'all. But I was like, ooh, shit. But yeah, that was fucked. But she got what she wanted at the end of the day. And she had him a fly-ass room. You know, it's hard to be mad living in luxury. But he's going to find a way. I don't know quite how this is going. I do know how it's going to work out. It's not even a hot take. He's going to find out from Famous. She left a witness. Like, what does she think Famous is built of? Like, no. So he's going to find out from Famous, either Famous's conscience, or it's probably going to come from Famous's conscience. Like later on, after the dirt's been done. Now the question is, will Kanan be smart, keep this information to himself, realize his mother is ready to go to levels that he didn't even think she'd be ready to go to, and just move accordingly? Pretend, play pretend. Or is he going to be emotional, blow up in her face, and then set her on a fucking vengeful path, starting with fucking Famous? And you know what I mean? So there's that. Now, I would like to talk about Marvin. Marvin didn't have much to do with this episode outside of, it felt like I said, more setting up, right? So first thing, he saved his, his sponsor when they was taking the anger management classes or whatever. And he found out that he worked at The Voice. I guess that's a radio station or a magazine place or something. And Buddy writes on, wouldn't you guess it, entertainment. Music, film, all that type of shit. Music. And whose daughter just happens to be a musician? Oh, yeah, that's right. Marvin's daughter is. Look at the coincidence. Look at the coink. What a coinky dink. I saved your ass. Paid hella money to get you out them junkies. My daughter's a singer. You cover singers. Oh, I wonder where the fuck we're going with the favor, with the payback favor. So somehow Marvin is going to link those two. That's not a big deal. I could give a fuck about that. What I could care about in the Marvin of this episode was this bar. Now, as they sat there shooting the shit with the lady that owns the bar, him and Lulu. Marvin sees Lulu's excitement about this place, what it could be. Marvin the whole time is thinking this is like a fake conversation for Shorty right here. Like, oh yeah, we're going to get a lot of business. Yeah, drinks and yeah, we can fix this place up. And I don't know shit about this. I was going to let you guys run it, but my little bro's with it, so I'm putting some money toward it. all the while, he's in his head like, hell yeah, son, you found us the perfect. Look at this room back here. I'm finna sell so many drugs out this back room, nigga. So many drugs. And Lulu's like, oh, chill. Chill. This is legit. And don't touch it. Please, Marvin, don't touch it. Ain't this a bitch? I just love how things go full circle. Marvin was the bad kid. Marvin was not to be trusted. Now Lou's a fucking alcoholic. Rock has lost her fucking mind. She's got her son committing hits. And then wanting to quit the game and want to make this, teach him how to sell drugs and tell him he can't sell drugs. And just worst mom of the year, of the decade. And Marvin is like the responsible fucking having crumpets with my daughter's girlfriend, the deceased girlfriend's father for comfort. I'm taking anger management classes. I'm saving my sponsor. I'm fucking out here making connections on Wall Street. Well, looky here. Started from the bottom, didn't we? Now, do y'all trust that Marvin will, in fact, hold true to his word and do nothing nefarious? Do no drug dealing in said bar that they're going to be taking over together, him and Lou? I, for one, don't think it's going to happen. Now, I want to believe that Marvin is like, look, or maybe he even might try to in the beginning because he knows what Lou has went through with Rock, and it seems this is probably the most sober he's seen Lou, so maybe he's like, let me not fuck this up for my brother, at least not right away. But I 100% in it, just like in my TV series brain of brain, knows that Marvin is finna start trapping out that goddamn bar in some type of degree. Because they're headed really into this musical straight-edge shit. I mean, fucking Juke is in a goddamn girls group, for one. And now there's a bar, and there's a whole lot of music talk and music production. And what the fuck that got to do with the drug game? There's got to be drugs involved. This is raising fucking Kanan. Did we forget who Kanan was? Did we? A murderous psychopath that thought he could bang it out with the police. He gave children lean. He gave Tariq lean to drink. Like, introduced him to it with a straw. He gave a child a fucking toxic, syrupy drug. A sweet drug with a straw. This motherfucker's crazy. He raised young Tommy. What the fuck are we in the music industry for right now? Like, why are we focused on the music? So that leads me to believe that Marvin is no way this bar is going to be untouched. There's got to be some drugs moving fucking somewhere. It's raising Kanan, people. But okay. So that wraps up them. Now, the shit I want to really talk about. Huh? We got our Ronnie. But first, before we get into Ronnie, because I believe, I think Ronnie was the most important piece of this episode. This was like a predominant Ronnie episode. So I'll save him for later. Let's talk about Unique. I would like to bring Unique to homie court. He needs to be sat down. Or you know what? Not even homie court. Because I know he's fucking foul. He needs, like, homie counseling. He needs to be sat in the center of the homie counseling room. This is why. He has a BM at the crib looking after his kid and his deranged ass brother. Right? So, off that alone, who's been holding him down? Off that alone, as a man, even if you out here running them streets with other women, doing you, when you got somebody like that at the crib, rule one, brother, you gotta never embarrass her. You supposed to hold that down. Whatever dirt you got going on should never infiltrate or come back in her face and make her look fucking stupid. And you should never be falling in love with a side. You don't do that, Unique. You are violating. And I'm talking about you hugged up, you eating Chinese takeout, and then you eating Rock's takeout. Like, you're doing a lot, brother. You at that crib more than you at there with your girl. Like, under the guise of you making money? Just like, come on, bro. You move, you crazy. Then when your girl press you, he was violating. Then his girl presses him about, oh, you fucking other bitches? You what you doing? You out here doing? And then he don't want to answer. Nigga, what? You supposed to come immediately with a, baby, I would never cheat on you, queen. The fuck is wrong with you? I'm out here getting money for us. You know my life. You think I'm worried about a bitch? That was supposed to be his fucking response. No hezzy. No hezzy. It was supposed to be rearing and ready to go. This nigga like, smacking lips and gone. What's up with all this? Gone out of here with this. You do. I said this nigga here. He crashing out over rock. This is the moves of a man who now wants to dub his girl for some shit he know nothing about. It's just some new. He about to dub the trustworthy, hold you down for something mysterious. You don't know what the fuck Rock got going on. You just know she got that fire. And Rock ain't asked you nothing more but then to get this fire. So why the fuck you making it anything more, Unique? I was utterly disgusted at his goddamn demeanor. And then look at him. Then look at him. He violates all these rules. Huh? He violates. Only to fucking crash out in his crib, have his girl spent, to come that same night to Rock, to be told, we need to break this up. Rock telling this nigga, we doing a little too much. Huh? We doing just a little too much. We're going to have to bag back for a bit. So you go do you, I'm going to do me, and we're just going to do us separately. You fucking fool. Now, you thought you was building something in this nice-ass suburban home. You crashed out with your girl. Now you just got dubbed by your side. Nigga, where you got to end up now? What's going to happen now? You got to take your stupid ass back home and come back with pelly fur coats or some shit. I don't know, some more jabos for your girl or something. Because now you got to make it right. Idiots. Let that be a lesson. And he ain't the only one. I just thought he was better. I thought he was one of the strong amongst us. Nope. And some of y'all men that's watching this right now is like, oh, everything Rail said just hurt a little bit. Because I did that same dumb shit. I know, brothers and sisters. Maybe you dubbed your man who was holding you down, but he gained a little, I don't know, gained a little weight. His stroke ain't hitting the same. You hit the streets, you find some new, and come to find out, this nigga ain't shit. Ain't got a dollar to his name. Now look at you. You done left the for show thing that gave you some sense of security. It ain't his fault his pipe just ain't hitting like it used to. Huh? Now you out there for the new. And then the new done did you dirty. You fell in love with him, and he got about four other things on the roster. You was number five. You weren't even in his top three. Now you got to go back to your man after you gave him all that extra attitude and be extra sweet. Fellas, be on the lookout if your girl come back to you for some reason and she just extra nice. Let that also be a warning to you. Like, who is this nice bitch? Like, my girl ain't nice. What you up to? Well, okay, that's that. There's that. Got that out of my system. I really had to talk about that. That was tough. Ronnie. What I found interesting about Ronnie this episode is that he's not Mr. Invincible. He's actually not the spookiest motherfucker I thought he was to be. I thought he was like a renowned, feared monster out here. But when he went to go see another member of The Wire, okay, he immediately, he needs funds. Unique don't want him nowhere near his business. Smartest thing Unique did this episode. So now, Ronnie is basically coming to every drug dealer this episode hat in hand. A little aggressive. He's still aggressive. I mean, he's still Ronnie. But that goes to show you, the scariest motherfucker ain't much. So it's just that Ronnie was a glorified enforcer slash salesman. But nothing to be feared. Everybody had a bodyguard. Everybody had that thing ready for Ronnie crazy ass. Ronnie would. I learned that Ronnie was not too crazy. He knew who he could and couldn't fuck with. He could mean mug whoever the fuck he wanted, but he knew not to touch a nair nutter. He ain't fuck with them. What was the Cubans? He ain't fuck with them Cubans at all. He tried to press my boy. Oh my God, my boy D. I swear to God, D from The Wire. Right, that was the other drug dealer that don't fuck with Unique and don't fuck with Unique's family, right? That was the second dude that Ronnie went to. I'm so mad at how D is being treated in the TV series industry. I truly am. D got murdered for no reason on The Wire. He did not have to die. He took that rap like a man. He was in jail doing his time, got killed by fucking, which one killed him? Not Avon. Stringer. Stringer had him set up and murdered enough. But here he is. He comes back. He a grown-ass man in this series. A heavy drug dealer in these streets. Taking care of business. He don't even need the Southside Queens, according to him. He getting that money, taking care of his elderly grandmama. And was politely trying to tell Ronnie that he don't fuck with his family. But Ronnie wanted to press the issue. Huh? And Ronnie felt offended that he went and told Unique, like, yo, get your brother. So I understand your frustration. But again, my boy D dies again. My nigga can't live to say, he can't stay alive. He can't stay alive. God, Jesus. But, yeah, so I guess Ronnie got tired of getting told no too many times. And then 50's narration about snitching and don't, like, is that really snitching? Motherfucker saying, hey, yo, get your brother. You didn't say that Unique didn't know nothing about this or none of that. All he did was call Unique and say, yo, get your brother. I don't fuck with your family. I don't know if this is you or if this is him. I ain't giving y'all no work. I didn't think that deserved to be fucking murdered in the kitchen of his grandmama's house while his grandmama was sitting there enjoying her shows, her late night shows. I didn't. But Ronnie's crazy. Okay. And when he finally went to the Cubans, though, They was like, respectfully, no, because we don't fuck with Unique. Unique's name ain't ringing out here. It's not really popular right now, so I wouldn't run around saying that. But a girl from the bodega, she's like, oh, because he kept screaming, I ain't Unique. I ain't my brother. Fuck him. So she finds a way to look like, oh, okay, I could probably use this to get my get back at Unique. She's still mad at that nigga Unique. Rightfully so. So we can already see where that's headed. She's probably going to fund Ronnie or tell him, like, look, you got my business if you whack your brother. And now we see Unique ain't too scared of Ronnie either. I thought he was a little nervous. He pressed the shit out of Ronnie in there. So much so, Ronnie ass is in there to double back. Like, well, nigga, I said I ain't said shit. Nigga, I was just on the phone. You want to talk to him? He told, how you think, nigga? You thought he made this up? So now you lying. Oh, I said what I said. I ain't talk to no motherfucking dude. I ain't say nothing to him. What the fuck he talking about? And I was just like, okay. And Unique is like, okay. So already. And this nigga Ronnie is out here telling Unique's business. Yeah, he over there fucking rock. He telling everybody who could listen. He told the first group he went to go get money. Told them where Rock stay. She too busy fucking Unique. And then he go tell his girl, like, yeah, you know Unique probably fucking somebody else. Like, whoever listen to Ronnie, and if they don't know shit about Unique, they know one thing. He outside fucking Rock. Thanks to Ronnie. So he just ain't shit. But we see how this is about to, like I predicted, that hot take is on the table. I think Unique gonna have to take Ronnie down for business. For just business purposes, and I think when he found out the shit about him telling his girl that, that'll probably take him over the edge. I'ma roll with that. But yeah, man, that was about it for this episode. I'ma holler at y'all after Friday when y'all watch it. So with that, man, protect your health, yourself, and your wealth, man. Your boy Rel is out of here. Peace.
Yo, I know I don't need no introduction, but y'all know who it is, man. It's your boy Hollywood Rel. And I appreciate you for sliding through and watching these videos. But you know what I need from you? All right, if you ain't already, I need you to like this and subscribe this, man. We at 1,000 trying to get to 2, all right? Push it for your boy. Get them algorithms up. So when it come to that subscribe button...